If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 7, a word for Memorial Day weekend, also a special word for us citizens of Illinois, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 7. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this state, every single part of it. Just thank you, Lord, for the gift that it is to us who live in the state of Illinois. But serious problems here, Lord. We need to know what they are. We need to know how to stand up and fight against them and to solve them with your help and your wisdom. Pray you just reveal that to us today. Pray you come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Illinois officially became the 21st state of the Union back on December the 3rd, 1818, which meant that last year was Illinois' 200th birthday or bicentennial. But how many of us citizens of Illinois ever heard anything at all about any kind of a party to celebrate it? Special events, promos, radio or TV ads. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 2016 was Indiana's bicentennial. And they did all kinds of special things to celebrate it. Built a State House Education Center and a bicentennial plaza in Indianapolis to display Indiana's founding documents. 184 different projects to create the Bicentennial Nature Trail through more than 11,000 acres of parks and forests. Public art projects, a new state historic site, all kinds of parties and receptions in different Indiana cities throughout the year. I could go on and on. But Illinois' bicentennial? And sadly enough, you know what the biggest reason why that is? Because so much of Illinois right now is such a train wreck, I don't know too many citizens of this state who even want to celebrate it at all. But the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how we can turn that around for this country and for the glory of God. We turn this morning to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 7. Jeremiah was called by God to prophesy to the southern kingdom of Judah and tell them that they were going to be exiled to Babylon. And even though for a while they were going to be on enemy territory, God was going to bring them back and restore a blessing so that he could still use them in the future. So they needed to do what was good for the city and the country where God had put them. And my fellow Illinoisans, the Holy Spirit is telling us today to do exactly the same thing. Even though we Christians here in Blue State, Illinois, are on enemy territory right now, we need to seek the good of Illinois so that God can restore a blessing and use us in the future too. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 7 tells us three things that we need to do for the good of the state of Illinois before it's too late once and for all. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to do for the good of Illinois, we need to understand what the problems are. And the most obvious problem is political. Because Illinois has way too much government. We have more governing bodies than any other state in the Union. And it's not even close. 6,933. 1,800 more than Texas. Florida has 6.5 million more people than Illinois and only has 1,650. Florida has 74 school districts. Illinois has 970. And it's so bad, there are people actually living in this state who are under 16 different overlapping bodies of government. And that doesn't even include the different districts, like school districts, fire districts, park districts, forest preserve districts, library districts, mosquito abatement districts. I could go on and on. Thomas Jefferson said this, most bad government grows out of too much government. Hear, hear. Now, too much government also means we need to spend too much money to keep it going. And 25 years ago in Illinois, that wasn't a problem because Illinois economically was humming along like a sewing machine. Average family income here was $64,000 a year. And Governor Jim Edgar left the state a $1 billion surplus when he left office. But Governor Jim Edgar did something very bad called the ramp. For decades, state government overpromised and underfunded the pension funds of state employees. And because those payments every year were such a huge amount of money, Governor Jim Edgar spent that money on other things and then ramped or put off those payments for other Illinois governors to make down the road. So, of course, all those other governors just kicked the can down the road, too, till today there ain't no more road left. And I know there's state employees listening to this sermon. There's plenty of them in this church this morning. I got to tell you, this is not your fault. You paid in everything you were supposed to pay. You did everything that you were supposed to do. State government did this. Jim Edgar's ramp was a ticking time bomb. And right now, it's blowing up in our face a $290 billion debt. So bad, one out of every four tax dollars we send to Springfield goes to pay the pension funds of state employees. Right now, we are spending more money on retired teachers' pensions and benefits than we are on the salaries and benefits of current teachers and kids in the classroom. And a lot of the retired teachers don't even live in Illinois anymore. And the Illinois State Supreme Court keeps telling us over and over again, it's unconstitutional to restructure those pension payments in any way, shape, or form, even for the new employees who are coming in. Well, it's unconstitutional not to have a balanced budget since 2001, too. But I don't hear the state Supreme Court squawking about that. But folks, pension is not the only problem. Because Illinois continued to spend money like there's no tomorrow. We owe $50 billion in bonds, $14 billion in unpaid debt. Moody's tells us our total debt as a state is $400 billion. Illinois has the worst credit rating of any state in the country, the worst bond rating, and some of our vendors are waiting 7 and 8 months to get paid by the state. People, none of us, not one of us, runs our household like this. But state government does. And because of that, Illinois right now is a financial basket case. And sadly enough, the only solution that anybody wants to come up with is to raise taxes. Even though as Illinois citizens, we are spending more on taxes than any other people in any other state. 40 different taxes in Illinois. Income tax, property tax, personal property tax, death tax, inheritance tax, gas tax, sales tax, gift tax, liquor tax, cigarette tax, plastic bag tax. I could go on and on. Illinois citizens are paying the highest property taxes in the entire country. And property taxes in Illinois are going up 3 times faster than personal income. And this is a problem for both the Democrats and the Republicans. Back in 2011, Democrat Governor Pat Quinn jacked state taxes 67%. 2017, Bruce Rauner signed off on the biggest tax hike in the history of any state in the entire United States. Where'd all that money go? It didn't even make a dent or slow anything down one bit. And Illinois citizens pay the fourth highest amount of taxes of any other state in the country. So the problem is not that taxes are too low. The problem is state government still spends too much. Like that evil plant in Little Shop of Horrors that keeps saying over and over again, feed me. And now J.B. Pritzker wants to raise taxes even more and increase fees. To raise the gas tax from 19 cents to 44 cents a gallon. To increase vehicle registration to $148 a year. To tax insurance benefits and emails and even your text messages. I could go on and on. Governor Pritzker now is pushing his fair tax or progressive tax, which he swears up and down is not going to affect anybody except the richest people in Illinois who make over $250,000 a year. 97% of you, he says, are not going to be affected by this at all. That's an absolute lie, and he knows it. The fair tax is not going to affect the richest people in Illinois because they're just going to move. So then the tax burden will fall on you and me, the middle class, just like they planned all along. The average middle class family in Illinois will pay more than $3,500 more per year in taxes because of this plan. He's not pushing this plan because he's stupid. He's pushing his plan because he thinks you're stupid. You and me both. Illinois right now is 46 out of 50th in job growth. According to Moody's, we are the worst state in America to start a small business, the worst state to retire in. And you know why that is? Because you cannot tax and spend your way to utopia. If you could, Illinois would be the Garden of Eden by now. If you want the boat to go faster, you've got to get more people to row it. You can't keep asking the fewer and fewer people who are left to row harder. And because of that, more and more people are voting with their feet and they're leaving. Every single year in Illinois now, we're losing a Naperville and a Rockford and a Joliet. Over the last 10 years, 500,000 more people have left the state than have moved in. We're shrinking. And the vast majority of the people who leave are 25 to 50-year-old prime wage earners who took $26 billion in tax revenue with them. And you know why? Because people want to live in a state where there's jobs and where they can keep some of the money that they make. Imagine that. Governor J.B. Pritzker says the reason people are leaving the state of Illinois is because of the bad weather. That's what you call tone deaf, people. And that's just fanning the exodus from Illinois even more. But I've got to stop here and say something. Even though it may not seem like it, I absolutely love this state. Back in 1850, my great-great-grandfather, Jay Garner, drove an ox wagon from Ohio to Illinois and married an Iroquois Indian woman named Tecumseh, who also grew up in Illinois. And the Garners have been here ever since. I was born here. I grew up here on a farm north of Watseka back in Iroquois County. I went to grade school and high school and college here. I got saved in this state. I went to grad school and seminary here. Except for a 9-month internship when I was in Iowa, I have lived my entire life in Illinois. And I'm 56 years old. And I still remember the Illinois State song because we had to memorize it back in the fifth grade. By the rivers ever flowing, Illinois, Illinois. And to be stupid, we'd stick that line in, by the toilets overflowing, Illinois, Illinois. I got married to my wife, Sue, here in this state. And she was born and grew up here and spent the vast majority of her life here, too. There are so many credible things about Illinois. The two greatest presidents in the history of the United States came from Illinois. Abraham Lincoln and Ronald Reagan. The Chicago Cubs are here. The Twinkie and Dairy Queen ice cream were invented in Illinois, for crying out loud. But this state has some really serious problems. And some of the biggest are political and financial. And they're so bad, Sue and I years ago even bought property up here in LaSalle County because we were going to build a house and maybe even retire here. Sadly enough, those plans and dreams went out the window a long, long time ago. I'm not preaching this sermon today because I hate this state. I'm preaching this sermon because I love it and because it breaks my heart to see what's going on here and what's happening to it. And you and I and other citizens of this state are never going to do anything about the problems until we first of all understand what the problems are. The first reason, the first thing we need to do in order to do good for the state of Illinois, we need to understand the problem. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do for the good of Illinois. We not only need to understand the problem, we also need to understand why we have the problem. Because it's not just political or financial, it's spiritual. We see this stuff happening in Illinois over and over again so much, we quit recognizing it for what it really is. Folks, Illinois is under spiritual attack. Because all the signs are there. This is the devil at work. John chapter 8, verse 44. The devil is the father of lies. We see all the lies in Illinois. People blinded to the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says it's the devil who does that. Christians and Christianity and Christian principles being slammed in trash. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. All the sin and the fraud in this state and the apathy about it. Everything in Illinois that is stealing and killing and destroying. That's the devil. John chapter 10, verse 10, it's the devil at work. The corruption in Illinois right now is so bad, it would embarrass Al Capone. Governor J.B. Pritzker wasn't even in office for 5 months when the feds started investigating him for tax evasion. The joke here in Illinois is that all of our governors serve 2 terms. One term in office, the other term in prison. The head of the FBI office in Chicago said this, "Everyone in the FBI knows from experience Illinois is the most corrupt state in the entire United States. Property taxes in Cook County are so high, business owners there have to hire politically connected attorneys to negotiate them down." You know who one of those attorneys is who got filthy rich doing that? Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan, who's been in office since Richard Nixon was president. So if you ever wonder why Mike Madigan doesn't give a rip about how high your property taxes are, now you know. State Senator Patricia Van Pelt from Chicago, who claims to be a Christian evangelist, is also one of the leading sponsors of that bill that would legalize recreational marijuana in Illinois. And you know why? Because she owns a cannabis company called Wakana that's going to be making more money than Davy Crockett when recreational marijuana is legalized. So much for the state ethics code that say public officials can't make money from their office. People, Jussie Smollett couldn't make this stuff up. It's evil. We see the spiritual attack and all kinds of wrong things that are going on in Illinois. The illegitimate birth rate in Cook County right now is 86%. That means out of every 100 babies born in Cook County, only 14 of them have a mother who is married to a father. That's a generational spirit. Since 2010, 14,033 people have been murdered in the city of Chicago and over 60,000 wounded. Those are war zone numbers. Don't tell me there's not a devil loose in the Windy City. And the new mayor is Lori Lightfoot. And the media told us a gazillion times how historic her election was because she's the first Chicago mayor who's an African-American female, which is fantastic, but also openly gay. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 12 says, "It is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret, and yet it's celebrated." And Psalm chapter 12, verse 8, "What is vile is honored among men." Last March the 13th, the Illinois House passed HB 246, which now makes it mandatory for all public schools in the state of Illinois to brainwash all K through 12 students in the so-called virtues of sodomy and gender impersonation. The LGBT indoctrination of children, and you're paying for it. Jesus said, "If anybody causes any child to stumble, better to have a millstone tied around his neck and cast into the heart of the sea." It's evil. Our governor wants to legalize recreational marijuana in Illinois. Even though the bill would allow everybody in their own home to be growing pot plants. It would allow pot shops 1,500 feet away from a grade school. It would allow people to sell pot candy and cookies with THC content of 500 milligrams, even though the CDC says anything over 100 milligrams is considered a hard drug. The American Medical Association says that all marijuana that has more than 15% THC content is just as addictive as heroin and cocaine. Folks, all marijuana today has a THC content of at least 17%. Our state government supplying citizens with more marijuana than El Chapo to purposely get them addicted so they can make money off of. That's evil. And worst of all, two radical abortion bills, HB 2467 and 2495, debated in the Illinois House that would strip all babies of their constitutional rights, erase all parental notification laws, would allow abortion up to the very nanosecond those babies are born, and would force even pro-life doctors to perform abortions against their religious convictions, even though according to the state constitution, that's illegal. If those two bills pass, Illinois becomes the abortion mecca in the entire United States, all on your dime. See that sign? Make abortion great again. Don't tell me there's not a spiritual battle going on in this state. And what have Illinois' problems done to our churches. Here at Fox River, we've lost one-third of our congregation in the last 6 years who have moved away to at least 7 different states. Try being a pastor, an elder, or a church leader and make any kind of long-range plans when you have no idea who's going to be here from 1 month to the next. And of course, all churches in Illinois are taking a hit from exactly the same problem. Folks, it's hurting the kingdom. This is a spiritual attack that's going on in the state of Illinois. Last April, that horrible-looking thing appeared in the sky over the western part of the state. And how symbolic. The Bible tells us that demon spirits are assigned by the devil over different geographical areas. And don't tell me that there's not a territorial spirit over the state of Illinois. So how do we do spiritual warfare and fight against it? We pray. Because prayer is powerful for the pulling down of strongholds and everything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So why didn't our prayers get answered fast? Daniel chapter 10 verse 13 tells us that those territorial spirits fight in the spiritual world against our prayers for cities and states and countries. So sometimes we don't get the victory right away. But that just means we need to keep praying harder. You keep praying harder until the victory comes. And Christians, we better be praying for Illinois. Because don't tell me that the devil doesn't have a foothold in the state. There's a demonic group of people in Chicago right now who call themselves the Satanic Temple. And last Christmas season, they got permission from Illinois lawmakers to set up a display in the Illinois Capitol Rotunda in Springfield. So right along all the other traditional holiday things was that monstrosity. A 4.5-foot statue that they called Snakeativity. Get it? Nativity? Snakeativity? And it shows the devil, the serpent from the Garden of Eden, wrapped around Eve's hand while she's holding an apple. And the inscription on that statue says, knowledge is the greatest gift. See, not baby Jesus is the greatest gift. Knowledge, as the Satanists define it, is the greatest gift. Because according to the Satanic Temple, the devil was the hero in the Garden of Eden. Because he persuaded Eve to eat the forbidden fruit from the knowledge of tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And brought knowledge to all mankind. Knowledge that there is no God. So we don't have to pay attention to his rules. And we can be free from religious tyranny and live by our own reason. A spokesman for the Satanic Temple said this, "We don't believe a literal Satan exists. We just see him as a metaphor of the necessary rebellion against the God of Christianity." But see, what they don't realize, the devil doesn't care you don't believe in him or not, just as long as you don't believe in God. Now, the Bible says what the devil really did in the Garden of Eden was lie to Eve and tempted her to disobey God and brought sin and death and hell and misery and destruction to all mankind. And that was the whole point of that statue being there in the Capitol building. Folks, a monument to the devil in the Illinois State Capitol building. What does that tell you about what's going on in the state? And that monument was a mockery of the birth of Christ and the gospel and Christian principles and an attempt to say that Christianity is not the solution, it's the problem. But my question is, where are all the lawmakers in the state of Illinois with enough hair in their chest to stand up and say, no, that thing is a disgrace, we are not having that in our Capitol building. They were nowhere to be found. And you know why? Because the devil set up operations in Springfield many, many years ago. And over the years has used so many lawmakers to do so many things that have trashed Christianity and principles, people don't even see it anymore. They consider it normal. Christians, our battle ultimately is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers and authorities and powers in this dark world. Don't tell me there's not a spiritual battle going on right now for the hearts and minds and souls of us people here in Illinois. The only question is, who's going to stand up and fight it? Second thing we need to do for the good of Illinois, we need to understand why we're having these problems. Third thing from this text. A third thing we need to do for the good of Illinois. We not only need to understand what the problems are, we not only need to understand why we have them, but third, even beyond prayer, we need to fight. We need to fight for this state. Which means every single one of us here has to make a decision. Either you're going to move away from Illinois or you're going to stay. And God has to be the one to tell you to do either. There's some people sitting in this church right now, I know because you've told me, you're out of here ASAP, just as soon as you get some loose ends tied up. There's other people listening to the sermon right now, right here in this room, you would love to move away from Illinois. You don't want to leave your family. You don't want to leave your grandkids. You don't want to leave your church. Or you farm and you can't exactly pack up your farm and take it with you. Me, God called me to this church 25 years ago. The only reason I've stayed here, the only reason I am still here, is because I still believe this is where God wants me to be. So I'm staying until God tells me different. But listen to me. If you're staying here, then you've got to fight for what's here. And there's some people listening to this sermon this morning, even beyond this building. In order to fight for this state, you first of all have to wake up and get your head out of your phone and stop worrying about the last episode of the Game of Thrones and start understanding what's going on in Illinois. Liberal Democrats and liberal Republicans for decades in this state have pushed a big government socialist agenda. And a big government socialist tax and spend agenda is not the solution to the problem. A big government socialist liberal agenda is the problem. Have you seen what's going on in Venezuela these days? A big government social agenda has absolutely destroyed this state and turned Illinois into the laughingstock of the entire nation. And yet in the last midterms elections, there's some people listening to the sermon. You voted for even more of it. What's the definition of insanity? And now Illinois is so blue, it's purple. Listen to me. We fought the American Revolutionary War over less than what's going on in Illinois right now. So if you're staying in Illinois, you've got to fight for it. We don't need you on the sidelines. We need you on the front lines. And the best thing that you can do to fight for Illinois is share the gospel so other people in this state get saved, so the Holy Spirit can change their hearts and their minds and their way of thinking about all kinds of biblical principles. Fight. A conservative representative last November named Brad Halbrook came up with a bill that would allow the rest of the entire state of Illinois to secede from the city of Chicago. Talk about fighting. Because Chicago is more like Los Angeles or New York City, while the rest of the state of Illinois is more like rural Iowa or Indiana. And because downstate always has to bail out Chicago's pensions funds. And because downstate can never outnumber the liberal votes in Chicago in a statewide election. And because 2 years ago, Mayor Rahm Emanuel said Chick-fil-A's values are not Chicago's values, which means that biblical Christian values are not Chicago's values. In too many cases, that's true. Separating the rest of the state of Illinois from the city of Chicago, I'm all over that. Where do I sign? You want to fight for the state of Illinois? Run for public office. Liberal Democrats want to drive us over the cliff at 75 miles an hour. Liberal Republicans want to drive us over the cliff at 65 miles an hour. And I can count the number of truly conservative, Bible-based representatives in this state on two hands. And every election we have in Illinois, on average, 67% of incumbents run unopposed. So go for it. And even if you don't win, even if you get barbecued, at least you get the opportunity to talk about the issues and problems and solutions. Who knows? Maybe God has called you for such a time as this in Illinois politics. If we're going to fight for Illinois, we've got to stand up for what is right. We've got to stand up for truth. Last May the 17th, the United States House of Representatives had absolutely no qualms whatsoever about voting away all your constitutional First Amendment rights and all your religious freedoms when they passed that horrible Equality Act. And that's not only happening on the federal level, it's happening in Illinois on the state level. Last March the 13th, when that gay education bill was being debated in the House, one person, Representative Tom Morrison from Palatine, was the only one in that entire body that had the guts to stand up and say something about it and to speak against it. Previous picture. Do you know what that word Illinois literally means? It comes from an old confederation of Indian tribes in Illinois history. And that word Illinois literally means the men. The real men. So of course the question is, where are all the real men in Illinois today who are willing to stand up and speak out against something wrong, even if we have to stand by ourselves? This is your state, folks. The land of Lincoln, government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So for crying out loud, fight for it. And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now. You say, but Kevin, it doesn't do any good. Yes, it does, because there are still 7,000 in Illinois who have not yet bowed the knee to Baal. Last March the 28th, when those two radical abortion bills were being debated in the Illinois House in Springfield, 3,600 conservative Christian pro-life citizens of Illinois turned out in the Capitol building in Springfield and packed the place in a protest. And they raised such a ruckus, they closed the place down. Do you know why those two radical abortion bills haven't been passed yet? Do you know why that recreational marijuana bill hasn't been passed yet? Because so many of you grassroots Christians called your congressman and wrote letters and sent emails and raised such holy hell, they're afraid to pass them. So even here in blue state Illinois, Christians, where we are outnumbered like crazy, we can still fight and we can still win. And how do I know that? Because other real patriot citizens of Illinois have done it before. One of the greatest battles in the entire Civil War was the Battle of Shiloh, Southwest Tennessee, April 6th and 7th of 1862. Union General Ulysses S. Grant had been assigned by President Abraham Lincoln to capture Confederate forts along the Tennessee River. And he had driven so far into enemy territory, the Union Army decided that they would join forces at a place called Pittsburg Landing across that river, northeast of Little Shiloh Baptist Church, and prepare for an assault on the Confederate railroad hub in Corinth, Mississippi, that was protected by Confederate generals Albert Sidney Johnson and Pierre Beauregard. But on the early morning of April 6th, 1862, the Confederates charged out of Corinth and overran the Union line stretching across Little Shiloh Baptist Church. And all the Union started retreating toward the northeast, towards Pittsburg Landing. And all the regiments got mixed up and everything was chaos. And a bunch of Union generals tried to form ragtag soldiers into some kind of a defense line. And one Union general, Benjamin Prentiss, grabbed a bunch of Union troops, including soldiers from the Illinois 1st and 2nd Artillery and the Illinois 20th Infantry, into a defense line in some woods northeast of a sunken farm road, a set of woods that was known as the Hornet's Nest. Because there were so many bullets flying through the trees and the leaves, the soldiers said they sounded like hornets. And Ulysses S. Grant told General Benjamin Prentiss, "You hold the Hornet's Nest at all cost." So in some of the fiercest fighting in the entire Civil War, those Union soldiers, Illinois troops included, even though they were outnumbered 4-1, beat back 8 different Confederate charges that afternoon. Until finally, Confederate General Dan Ruggles brought up 62 cannon ready to blow them to kingdom come. Then they finally retreated northeast toward Pittsburg Landing. But because those Union soldiers held out for as long as they did, the Illinois troops included, General Beauregard's men, Sidney Johnson had gotten killed, Beauregard's men were so tired, he pulled them back for what he thought would be an easy mop-up assault on Pittsburg Landing the very next morning. But because those Union troops, Illinois soldiers included, had held out so long in the Hornet's Nest, General Grant was able to establish a defense line up here at Pittsburg Landing. And then during the night, Union General Carlos Buell arrived and added 23,000 more Union troops to the defense. So very next morning, when the Confederates attacked, the Union counterattacked and drove them all the way back to the town of Corinth. And it was said that after Shiloh, the South never smiled again. Folks, if it wasn't for those Union troops holding on to the hornet's nest for as long as they did, Grant's Union Army would have been overrun. All those forts he captured along the Tennessee River would have been recaptured by the South. The Union Army would have been kicked out of Tennessee, and President Abraham Lincoln said Ulysses S. Grant would have been relieved of his command. So it was those Union troops holding on to the hornet's nest for as long as they did that could have very easily won the war. And Union General Benjamin Prentiss said, the troops that fought the hardest to hold on to the hornet's nest that afternoon were the Illinois 1st and 2nd Artillery and the Illinois 20th Infantry. Do you know what the state motto of Illinois is? It's not Land of Lincoln. You see it right there. State sovereignty and national unity. Those soldiers from Illinois fought tooth and nail, outnumbered against unbelievable odds, because they believed with all their heart it was their job as citizens of Illinois to fight to save the Union in order to save the country. And I want to know this morning how many soldiers of Illinois are in this room right now who believe with all their hearts that it's our duty to do exactly the same thing. In 1904, they put up a monument on that battlefield to the soldiers from Illinois who turned the tide in the Battle of Shiloh. It's 35 feet high, and on top of it, there's a woman sitting in a chair. It's Mother Illinois, and she's got a military coat draped over her shoulders. One hand is placed on a book that recounts the heroism of her soldiers. Her other hand is on a partially unsheathed sword, ready to pull it out. She's got a determined look on her face, and her eyes are staring south, a permanent warning on southern soil saying this: we did it before, we will do it again if we have to. We will bear any cost in order to save the Union. And a reminder to us Illinoisans today of the incredible power of the people in Illinois when we are touched by the Holy Spirit and the better angels of our nature. So I want to know, where are the soldiers of Illinois today who are willing to not only MAGA, make America great again, but willing to MIGA, make Illinois great again so America can be great again? Where are the soldiers of Illinois today, right now, who are willing to sacrifice and fight tooth and nail, outnumbered against unbelievable odds, to fulfill their destiny as citizens of Illinois, to heal this Union, bring this country back together, call it back to its spiritual senses before Jesus Christ comes again? Where are those soldiers? Are they here today? Are they sitting in these seats today? Are they standing up here preaching this sermon today? Let's pray. Lord, there's a credible battle to fight. And Lord, what we've talked about today doesn't even touch personal problems that we have, family matters, responsibilities. Lord, we cannot do this without You. And I just pray, Lord, this entire state, Chicago as well, would just receive a touch from Your Holy Spirit, Lord, a revival the likes of which this nation has ever said before. You've got to help us, Lord, because we cannot do this. We cannot turn this around. We can't pay these bills. We can't fight the devil on our own. I just ask, Lord, that there would be common sense in Illinois government. For crying out loud, forget about party affiliation and just do what's right. And Lord, You would return this state, Lord, to one of the leaders of the nation, as You intended it to be when it was founded. Lord, I pray You just show each one of us the part that we need to play in this to make things better. Lord, that this state would be a light to the whole nation, not a sanctuary state for abortion or illegal immigrants, a sanctuary state, Lord, for this entire nation. People can come to know You. Show us our part, Lord. All this we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.